Pray now, God, that your word will find fertile ground in our hearts and minds, that we would be more than just hearers of your word. Help us to be doers of your word. May the seed of your word find that fertile ground, that it can germinate and produce great fruit through us to help others know you and grow in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many people in this world are hurting all around you. They are surrounded by people yet still feel lonely. They have jobs but lack hope. They have houses but don't have homes. They have money but no meaning for life. They have prosperity but no purpose or peace. And every day you pass by people carrying burdens you cannot see. They smile while they're hiding broken hearts. They work while carrying overwhelming worry. They laugh while silently crying inside. The question is not whether there are needs around you. The question is, do you see the needs around you? And the truth of the matter is, we don't have to go far to find or see needs like that. All you got to do is look to your left or to your right. Because there are some who come to church pretending, when the reality is they are hurting just as well. But here's the thing that we need to understand, and here's the question that we need to ask and answer. How does God want to use you? How does God want to use me to be the answer to the prayers that people are praying? How does God want to use us to bring hope in the midst of hopeless situations? Now you ask the question, why is that my concern? I'm just trying to make it the best way I can. I'm looking out for me, myself, and I. And that's part of the problem. You see, so many of us become so consumed with our own schedules, our own responsibilities, and our own problems that we stop seeing the people God places directly in our paths. What is the greatest challenge facing the church today? I believe the greatest challenge facing the church today is not getting people to come to church. The greatest challenge is not getting people to come to our campus or come to this building or even join our church. The greatest challenge facing the church today is getting God's people to know we are to be more outside of the church than we are inside of the church. What a tragedy that for some of us, our best Christian moment is relegated to 2 hours a week on Sunday morning. With all the other times that we live and breathe and have our being, with all the other times that we can interact with other people, what a tragedy that you are your best Christian, like your best Christian self, on Sunday morning. In our text today, Peter and John were on their way to worship. They were headed to the temple for prayer. And there was a man who was sitting by the temple gate called Beautiful. They could have easily walked past the lame man, but they decided to stop. They could have said in their own minds, "We're on our way to church." But somehow the Holy Spirit arrested their attention. And they recognized that it was better to stop and be church than it was to go to church. Somebody in here, you need to realize God wants to interrupt your schedule to accomplish his mission in and through your life. Our text today is found in Acts chapter 3, and I want to continue our series, The Season to Serve. And I want to talk to you today from the thought, how to meet needs and open hearts. How to meet needs and open hearts. So many times when we think about opening somebody's heart, to the gospel, we think it will be accomplished by a great conversation. Sometimes we think we may need to argue with them to get them to say yes to the Lord, when in actuality, it's not what we say that will convince people as much as what we show them. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, you can find a fill-in-the-blank version of the outline on our app, Good Hope app, wherever you get your apps, or go to our website, goodhope.org. Acts chapter 3 is our foundational text. It takes place shortly after Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. The church has been given birth to, and it is a growing entity. Thousands have come to faith in Christ, but the mission of the church is just beginning. Here's Peter and John on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. It's about 3 p.m. And outside of one of the temple gates, called the Beautiful Gate, sits a man who has been lame from birth. We find out in the next chapter, Acts chapter 4, that he was over 40 years old. For more than 40 years, he had been dependent upon the charity of others. Because of his disability, he lived on the margins of society. He was near worship, but wasn't welcome into worship. He was unable to fully participate in what other people did. He was near God's people, but he was trapped by his condition. Here is a man who is near the temple, watching God's people walk by consistently, but he's unable to change himself and unable to get the attention of the majority who are going to pray. People walk past him. Some may have noticed him, but few really helped him. But on this day, Peter and John would come. And here's the truth that I want you to get from this, if you get nothing else. When God's people meet needs in Jesus' name, God opens hearts for his glory. When you allow God to use you to meet the needs of people, God uses what you do to open their heart to receive God's love. Three things I want you to see today that I hope and pray will help you to understand how to meet needs and open hearts. Here's the first thing. Number one, you must notice the needs of others. You must notice the needs of others. Verse 1, Acts chapter 3, the ESV translation says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. A man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple." Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. He was born lame. And somebody in here, you can identify with that, because all of us were born unable to walk in a way that pleases God. That's why you had to be born again, because you were born wrong the first time. When you were born again, that meant you had an opportunity to be born right. This man was poor. He was literally being laid there, depending on the mercy and the charity of people, and he was outside of the temple. Let me give you a picture. Can you imagine if when you came to church today, on your way into the building, there was a beggar there asking for alms, asking for you to give him of your hard-earned money? Some of y'all would be offended that somebody would have the nerve to interrupt your trip into church where you're getting ready to get your praise on, asking for money. Some of you would look at him and say, "Hey, you need to get a job. You need to get some help. Man, let me give you the phone number somewhere to call. Or some of you would look at the deacons and say, hey, deacons, y'all need to take care of this because I don't like being harassed when I come into church. Some of you may even look at the pastor and say, Pastor, what kind of church you got here? Peter and John did something that many others failed to do. They saw him. They noticed him. They stopped. They paid attention to him. Now, my brothers and sisters, this was no small task because the man had been in the condition so long, he probably became part of the scenery. Do you remember the first time you were riding down the street and you saw somebody holding a sign that said, we'll work for food? Do you remember the shock that you had that somebody actually would hold a sign like that? And now they are as common as a stop sign. You don't even think twice about it. You just keep on riding and you probably look the other way so they don't see you looking at them and they trying to get your attention. And if they knock you down, I don't even carry cash. You take credit cards? No? Okay. My brothers and sisters, listen to me. Write this down somewhere. Service begins with seeing. Service begins with seeing. You will not serve when you don't see. You can't serve and have your eyes closed to the reality of what's going on. You cannot meet a need you refuse to notice. You cannot help people you overlook. See, here's the truth of the matter. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you better understand Jesus constantly noticed others who were ignored by people. Jesus saw them. He saw Zacchaeus up in a tree. He noticed a woman touching the hem of his garment. He saw and heard blind Bartimaeus. He noticed the children who were coming to him. He noticed the hurting. If we're going to serve like Jesus, we've got to see people like Jesus saw them. This is 4th of July weekend, and a whole lot of people spent time at the water, on the beach, in the swimming pools. And I learned something some years ago about lifeguards. Lifeguards don't see a pool full of people playing the way we see them. See, when we look at a pool, we're looking for the people who are having fun and they're making a lot of noise and they're playing around. But when a lifeguard looks at a pool, they're not looking for the people who are having fun. They're looking for the people who are in trouble. They're looking for the people who are in distress, because what you're looking for determines what you see. I'm trying to help somebody in here today, because many Christians walk through life looking for what looks good instead of looking for where there's a need to be met. And Jesus says, you got to learn how to look for opportunities to be the salt and be the light I've called you to be. And y'all, I need y'all to hear me. I'm going to keep on knocking on this door until it opens in somebody's mind, because here's what I need you to understand. You don't have to make a special trip to find a need. You don't have to go out of your way. You don't have to go across the water to find a need. Some of y'all have some people in spiritual need at the same address you live at. They're family members. They're friends. They have a need. So here's what I want you to do. Ask God every day, Lord, help me see who others overlook. Help me see with your eyes who others overlook. Look for the lonely. Look for the grieving. Look for the struggling parent. Look for the overwhelmed coworker. Look for the person who is discouraged. Look for the forgotten senior. And when God shows you something, listen, don't say, "I'll act on it later." Act on it at that moment. Because if you don't act at that moment, you'll get to an age where you forgot what you was even thinking about. And then forget you were even thinking about something that you forgot about. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 and 37. Let's read it together. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Let's go down to Proverbs. Well, let's go to Luke 10, 33. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he, there it is, underline that, saw him, he had compassion. When he saw him. Now, there were others who would see that man by the road. They saw him, but they didn't stop. But the text says he saw them and saw him and had compassion. Proverbs 14, 21, whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. Here's the second thing I want you to see. If you're going to meet needs and open hearts, number two, you must offer what you have to those in need. You not only must notice the needs of others, you must offer what you have to those in need. But Peter said, verse 6, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you." Stop right there. I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, he says, I give to you. He asked Peter for alms. He was placed there to get money. That's why he was there. Peter says, "I don't have what you want, but I can give you what I have." Listen, he wanted money, but Peter recognized that he needed something else. And Peter offered something greater. Peter, now I want you to notice something. He does not focus on what he lacked. He focused on what he had. Many of you look the other way when it's time to serve. Listen carefully, because you say, "I don't have enough money to spare." You say, "I don't have enough time." You say, "I don't have enough education to be used by God." You say, "I don't have enough experience." And here's what Peter teaches us. Stop focusing on what you don't have and give them what you do have. See, the issue is not what you don't have. The issue is, are you willing to give what God has already given to you? Let me tell you the mistake that we make. Maybe not you. Maybe it's the person next to you. The way we define Christianity today, you can fit being a Christian somewhere in your busy life. But to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to reorient and reprioritize your life. And there are too many of you who want to be a Christian but don't want to be a disciple. Mic check. 1, 2. Mic. No. You want to be a Christian, and by being a Christian, you mean I come to church 1.5 times a month. I'm looking to hear the choir sing some good songs. I want to hear the pastor preach. Nothing too convicting. Don't get in my business too much, pastor, because I still want to do what I do. I still want to be me. And I want to be able to check that box. But when you say you're going to be a disciple, that's some language we're not used to. Forsake all to follow me. hard sayings. Wait a minute, Jesus, you mean I got to change my life? You mean I got to change my living? I got to change what? Huh? And Jesus says, yes. God wants to use what you have. Whatever it is. Don't compare yourself to somebody else and say, well, see, if I had what they had, Lord, I'd do more. Lord said, no, you're not doing anything with what you already have. God says, I can do something with what you already have if you just, the greatest ability is availability. When Moses stood before that burning bush, God asked him in Exodus chapter 4, what's in your hand? It was only a staff, but God knew it would become an instrument of deliverance in the hands of a servant who made himself available to be used by God. You may not have millions of dollars. You may not have a large platform. You may not have special influence, but you have something that God wants to use. God wants to use your time. He wants to use your talent. He wants to use your treasure. He wants to use your temple. He wants to use your testimony. He wants to use your ability to encourage somebody, to have compassion for somebody, to have use your experience, your wisdom, to pray for somebody. Shame on you. Shame on you if you won't even pray. What does prayer cost you? If you ride by the street and the Lord doesn't lead you to give somebody something, okay, but you can't even pray. You can't even ask God to help change their life. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whatever gift you have, use it to his glory. Here's a third and final thing in this part one of this message, how to meet needs and open hearts. Number three, you must point people to Jesus. You must point people to Jesus. What's the B part? Acts chapter 3, verse 6. A part says, Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Peter understood the power was not in him. The power was in Jesus. Let me put a quarter in the meter and park here for somebody, because I told you, you need to be willing to give what you have. Tragedy is too many of you don't have enough Jesus to give to somebody else. Peter says, silver and gold have I not. I have no money, but I can give you Jesus. Some of y'all in here, some of you who are watching right now, you cry broke. You don't have any money to give, but you can't give them the Jesus you claim to have. Here's what Peter understood. The goal was not to make him famous. The goal was to make Jesus known. Serving is wonderful, but I need you to understand something. In this season to serve, and in every aspect of your life, we don't serve for people to see us. We serve to show people Jesus. See, meeting needs is important, but ultimately every act of service should point people to Jesus. People need food, but they need their faith developed. People need more than clothing. They need to be challenged in their commitment to Christ. People need more than just encouragement. They need equipping and empowerment. People need more than healing. They need hope, and they need that hope in Jesus affirmed. We got to give them Jesus, y'all. When you're driving down the road and you see a sign, a sign only has value because it lets you know that you're heading in the right direction or you've arrived at the right place. The purpose of the sign is to point you to a destination. Nobody gets out at the sign and has a good time. You don't get out at a sign that says welcome to New Orleans and act like you're on Bourbon Street. Because if you're on I-10, the sign only indicates you heading in the right direction. I wish I had a witness in here somewhere to understand that the sign is an indicator. And watch this. The sign doesn't brag on itself. The sign points you in the right direction. God says, I need you to be a sign of my love. I need you to be a sign of my compassion. I need when people see you to see not you, but to see the Jesus in you, working through you. So when you go out to serve, I want you to remember and explain, watch this, not just what you're doing, but the why behind you doing it. You need to remind people, I'm serving because Jesus changed my life. Man, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I'm praying for you because God loves you. Can I tell you what the Lord has done for me? Right? Can I share the living testimony I am to help you see how wonderful God is. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We worrying about having church on Sunday when God has called us to be the church every day. And somebody said, well, what's wrong with having good church? Nothing, unless that's the goal of your existence as a Christian. Listen, your praise on Sunday ought to fuel your purpose Monday through Saturday. Watch this. Who goes to a gas station and fills up and then puts the car in park and sits there at the pump and doesn't move? And some of y'all looking at me like, that's crazy. Ain't no crazier than coming to church to get your spiritual tank filled and never go anywhere in the vehicle that God has called you to be. I started by telling you, everyday people are walking through life carrying invisible burdens. Here's what I've learned. Inside and outside of the sanctuary, some are looking for hope, some are looking for peace, some are looking for answers, some are simply hoping someone will notice them. God has strategically placed you in their path, not by accident, but on assignment. And like Peter and John, you will encounter people whose greatest need is deeper than what they are asking for. They ask for money, but they need to be ministered to. They're asking for help, but they need hope and healing. They ask for encouragement, but they need Jesus. And the question is, what are you going to do? Will you notice people in need? Will you offer what God has given you? And will you point people to Jesus? Imagine what God could do if you decided this week, that I will notice one person. I'm not going to be so busy running from appointment to appointment and through the hallways and through from one room to the. I'm going to notice one person. And I make a commitment this week. I'm going to meet one need. Just one. And I'm going to point one person to Jesus. If they need him, I'm going to show them how to know him. And if they know him, I'm going to show them his goodness and love and how they can grow in him. Imagine if everyone left this worship moment looking instead of overlooking, stopping instead of passing by, serving instead of simply seeing, praying instead of pretending, and sharing instead of staying silent. Imagine our families being restored if we just stop to notice those who are under our roof, if we learn to encourage our young people, if we help to strengthen marriages and live redeemed lives, imagine what we can do. See, here's the problem with the church. We think the church can solve problems if we have bigger buildings and bigger budgets, and what we need are bigger Christians. We don't need bigger buildings. We got enough buildings. We don't need bigger time preachers. No, we got enough of that. See, you, an ordinary person, an ordinary Christian, can become an extraordinary servant in the hands of an extraordinary God. Y'all, I'm going to use her as an illustration today. I'm doing it because she's here. Tisha Plummer, sister, professional, went to dental school. She's a dentist. Why are you running for city council? You got a career. You can make money. But she chooses public service. Why? Like, I can imagine somebody looking at her and saying, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? Why would you want to do that? And then you have a good run. You got a good run. Okay, well, you got elected. All right, thank God you got elected. Good. But you ain't going to stay in this, right? You're going to get over this. Eventually, you're going to grow out of this phase that you're in. You're going to run again? You can't win. Why are you going to run again? Then she wins. I need y'all to hear me. Ordinary people can be used in an extraordinary way when they put their hands in an extraordinary God. And if you sit there and you say, I'm just a nobody. You know, some of us got that good concert theology. Dean, we got that good. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I ain't nobody, Pastor. But nobody's become special somebodies when they put their hands in the hand of God. So I want to encourage you today. Notice a need. Offer what you have and point someone to Jesus. And when you do that, watch God do the miraculous. See, we like to shout, and we're going to talk about the miracle next week if the Lord says the same. We like to shout on the miracle, but we don't want to get excited about what happened to make the miracle happen. I've told you this before, but let me tell you again. Miracles, strange as it sounds, typically show up on the other side of obedience. This man's miracle was a result of Peter and John's obedience. Their obedience allowed a miracle to happen in somebody else's life. And some of y'all are living testimony. You are a miracle. You've experienced miracles because of somebody else's obedience. Now, can you pay it forward and be a blessing in somebody else's life, so that a heart open can become a life changed, and a life changed can become a family transformed, and a family transformed can become a community impacted, and a community impacted can become a city reached, and a city reached can become a county that's on fire, and a county that's on fire can change an entire state, and a state that has been transformed can literally change a country. And a changed country can change the world. So you have to decide, are you going to live in a way that adds value to others, or are you going to live in a way that takes value away? The old hymn said it so well, if I can help somebody, as I pass along. If I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody how they're traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a good man ought, if I can bring back beauty to a world upwrought, if I can spread love's message as the master taught, then my living shall not be in vain. And every time you bless somebody else, every time you let God use you, you're not only a blessing to them, you're blessed and God is glorified. Amen. Father, I thank you today for your word. I pray now that you would bless the word that has gone forth. I pray that it has found fertile ground in our hearts and minds, that we would be excited about being used by you, that we would make ourselves available to be used by you. We thank you and we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. I've told you this before. This is this time of the year. I went in the room the other day and Pastor Cam has some watermelon and has some yellow meat watermelon. I said, man. And I started reaching for some before he even offered some. He offered some, but I was, in my mind, I was already there, you know, because I love watermelon. That's like one of my favorite fruits. I love watermelon. And I told y'all, God's gift to the world was seedless watermelon. My mother felt like God was at his best when he created chicken. Right? That was my mama, chicken. And it didn't matter how it was cooked, she loved chicken. I feel that same way about watermelon. God was doing some of his best work at watermelon, man. And seedless watermelon, oh, it's got the Holy Ghost on it. It's anointed. No seeds? What? Don't let that thing be sweet. Deacon Phillips, don't let that, man. I'm talking about when you put the tip of the knife in it and the whole thing just crack. Whoa. And you see that sugar laying on the top? Look at, ooh, what? I was a little disheartened when I found out that seedless watermelon was engineered. It wasn't natural. It's not natural. It was engineered by man. And here's the tragedy. When you have a great seedless, and I learned this the hard way, y'all. When you got a great seedless watermelon and you're looking for some seeds so you can dry them out, Henry, you want to dry them out because you want to plant them. Ain't no seeds. There's no seeds. And I'm like, man, this ain't good. Here's what I figured out. Seedless watermelon was created for pleasure, not reproduction. And y'all, too many of us who are Christians, we are seedless saints. We live for pleasure, not reproduction. We look for our pleasure and then think we're doing what God wants us to do, and there's no saints coming behind us. It starts by noticing the need, giving what you have. And if all you have is Jesus, give him Jesus. But if you don't have enough Jesus to give them, the problem is not them. The problem is you. And then point them to God. Because how many of y'all know somebody who comes to you with a need and their real need is to change their life? $100 ain't gonna change their life. $1,000 ain't gonna change their life. They need a life change. They need a reset. And that can only come when they give their life to the Lord. Everybody who can, everybody who will, stand on your feet. Amen. Pastor Campbell's going to come and give us our invitation to discipleship. And today, I want to encourage you and challenge you to say yes to God. Not only to say yes in terms of salvation, but say yes in terms of service. I need somebody to say, you know what? I never thought God could use me. And I need you to leave here knowing that God can use you if you make yourself available to be used by God. And there's somebody you're thinking, man, this is great, grandiose thing. That no, God just wants you to use you for a simple thing. It might just be an encouragement that you give to somebody walking in the office. And you just take them for granted, that you just think they're furniture. And maybe the Holy Spirit just stops you at that moment and says, you know what? Ask them how they're doing. No, ask them how they're really doing. Is there a way I can pray for you? What are you dealing with? What are you struggling with? I cannot tell you how many times somebody has come to me and said, Pastor, you didn't know this, but when you said this, or when you stopped and talked to me about this, you had no idea. Now, y'all, I didn't know, but guess who knows? God knows. And somebody, God's just waiting for you to say, use me, Lord. Use me. Listen, it may not be a big thing, but it's going to be a big thing to the person that you are used to help. It may not be life-changing. Listen, you won't get a Nobel Peace Prize for it, but you'll change somebody's life, and that'll make all the difference in their life if you just say yes. Amen? Amen. We have passed.
We extend the invitation to you. Will you come at this time as the Ministry of Music renders during this invitation?
Just ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. Just like me and you, who are willing to do as he commands. God uses people,
yes, Lord,
who will give him all. No matter how small your all may seem, to you, because little becomes much,
my.
When you place it in the Master's hand.
Church, Pastor very plainly said to us, we've got to see the need, offer what we have, point people to Jesus. The question that has to arise in your mind and even in your heart is, what's your greatest need? Not money. Healing. What are you replaying in your mind that says, that's my greatest need? And all of those things, no matter the list you write up, won't compare to your spiritual need. Somebody here knows that the pastor was talking to you. that there's something inside of you that didn't rest well when he got to talking about the convictions of his heart concerning our Christ. Somebody knows your greatest need today is you need a Savior. You need Jesus. But here's the good news. You're no different than anybody else in this building. Because all of us need him, and all of us need to know him. All of us who know him need to grow in him. So we all can confidently say our greatest need is Jesus. I need him every moment, every hour, and every day. And so if you're here today and you're listening to the sermon as we're in this season to serve, Jesus did all of what Pastor talked about. Jesus saw us. And he saw us at our lowest. And we present our best to present ourselves at our greatest. We go through trouble to make sure that people see us in the light we want to be seen in. But he saw us as filthy rags. And God knows all about you, even though you make yourself up, pretend on social media. God sees you. He saw you. Then what did he do? He offered what he had. What did he offer? He offered eternal life. And still today, he's pointing you back to God. So when we are servants in the season to serve, we're doing what Jesus did. And we're also offering Jesus to you today. Maybe you're not saved and you need to be in the safety, the ark of safety. Also, maybe you're not serving. You're not a part of the church. You're not serving. God's got gifts and giving you gifts and abilities. Maybe you are able to pray and you don't pray for others. Maybe you're able to cook and you hadn't decided that you're going to serve meals for the homeless. Maybe you hadn't drafted into God's army. Maybe it's your time to link up with a church and serve. So today's your day to see your biggest need for Jesus, a church family, and a purpose. Come on, let's sing it again.
Just ordinary people. My God uses plain old ordinary people.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, yes, he does. He chooses people just like me and you, who are willing to do everything that the Lord commands. Oh, yes.
Yes, Lord.
God uses people.
God can use you in this moment.
Give him all.
In this time.
No matter
don't
how
let this moment pass you by.
Your all may seem to you. Becomes much,
yes,
when you place it
in the master's
hand.
One more time, won't you look down your row and won't you ask that person, ask them, are you saved? See, some of y'all assuming you ain't looked at you. Ask them, are you saved? Then ask them, are we waiting on you? And if they say yes or give you a nod, come on, squeeze that hand and say, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. I can't walk for you, but I can walk with you. Somebody here, you might need to take advantage of that QR code on the screen. You can do all the same and come to Jesus and give him your life. Can I tell you something that everybody here who's done it before can agree with? That we came to Jesus just as we were. Some of us were weary, wounded, and sad, but we found in him a resting place, and Jesus has made us glad. Now, all the glad people that know Jesus made you glad because you came to a saving faith, life is sweet and your joy is complete. Is there anybody here who can say, I'm so glad that Jesus saved me? He served by giving his life, and I can't imagine what my life would be like if I didn't walk down that aisle. I don't know what my life would be like if I didn't give him my heart. I don't know what my life would be like if I didn't have him to call on. I don't know what my life would be like if I didn't have Jesus. So if you're here, come on, come on, come on. Pastor Cam, why you do so long on this? Because this is what church is about. The word of God has been given, and the seed of the word produces a response. And so if you feel God tugging on your heart, I know it's early in the morning, I know all of that, but there's nothing more pathetic and pitiful than for us to close eyes and been given every opportunity to make him the Lord of our life and miss him while blood is running warm in our veins. Don't miss your moment. If you're here, come. I'm begging, I'm pleading for the sake of God. This is your opportunity. One more time and we move on in our service.
Little becomes much. Oh, when you place it
in the master's hands. Doesn't matter what you have.
All you've got to do is give your everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everything to Jesus.
Little becomes
much. Oh, when you place it in the master's hand. Oh, yeah, 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 yes. Oh, little becomes much.
When we place.
Oh, when you place it
in the master's
hand. In the master's hand.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the word that has produced a harvest within our hearts. Help us to see people at their point of need. Help us to offer what we have, and we always have Jesus. And Father, help us to point people to you. Those who need you to know you, and those who know you to grow in you. To the glory of God, it's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Let every heart and believer say amen. Amen. Can we give God praise? Amen. And can we thank God for a word from on high from our senior pastor? Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Amen. Anybody agree? It seemed like he came back ready to preach today, huh? Amen. 2 weeks. Has it been 2 weeks? Amen. 2 weeks. And we're so grateful that the Lord has energized him, given him what he needs to stand and proclaim the word of God. I don't know about y'all, but I still get excited about the word of God. I love hearing it. I love reading it. I love being able to sit around it. Thank God for the word of God. It's offering time. Can we say praise the Lord? Come on, let's celebrate. It's offering time. Praise the Lord. Why you say praise the Lord? Well, I want to give unto the Lord who's given unto me. He gives me so much energy, so much breath in my body. They say that there's 10,000 thoughts that go, no less than 10,000 thoughts that go through your head every day. And he allows all that to happen. And I come to church to give him glory, and I come to give him praise, but I also come to give in a sacrificial manner. And so if you're giving in the church of the Lord's, in our church today, there are 6 ways that you can give. And if you're giving by physical currency, you can give by way of cash and check, and our deacons are coming at this time to receive those gifts as unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. And just by way of announcement, many of you have either called or texted about the Cash App for Pastor last week. For some reason, his Cash App rejected a lot of those gifts. And so if you would like to resend that, I think it has been rectified, and that is on the screen whereby you can give your anniversary gift to him. We want to make sure that everybody who wanted to give definitely had the opportunity to give. You can Apple Pay him at his direct phone number there at 281-850. I'm waiting for it to come back again. I was trying to catch it. Amen. 281-850-8990. Or you can do that Cash App again, and we'll be able to bless him in that way. Let us say amen. 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 Has everyone had the opportunity to give who has desired to give? Amen. Father, we ask that you would bless the gift and the giver, the seed and the soil. We ask that you bless it now in Jesus' name, we pray, for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Amen. Amen. Amen.